Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Huntley, come on back. Before anybody gets all excited and says, what a mess, they had to do it. They had to do it. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin.
What a mess, Jeff.
No, Andy, they had to do it.
It's a mess. It's preseason. I'm sure that if it was regular season, these guys would play through it. It's just they need to make sure they haven't. Yeah, they have another. They're going to have. Don't you think so?
I don't know.
The one that's probably the easiest to play.
Hamstrings are a tough thing to play through.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Sanders is probably the one that would have the best luck to play through his pain.
He's going
to
play. He'll play on Friday. This screams several things to me. They bring in Tyler Huntley.
Right.
So you have Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and now Tyler Huntley. And Deshaun Watson, who, of course, is injured and not playing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. We'll just leave it at that. Who knows anything more? Flacco, yesterday, Kevin Stefanski said, he's good to go if we need him on Friday.
Which makes us think they don't want to play him.
The minute that he said that, we all thought, yeah, they don't want to play him, right?
They don't want to, but now, if Pickett, Gabriel, and Sanders can't go, and I think Sanders is going to be able to
go. No, Sanders is going to play.
As long as he doesn't, it's not reoccurring.
He was back full strength yesterday at practice.
Right, but he's still a little, you got to imagine, it doesn't just completely go away. He's playing through it. Remember, he said something like, all I can do is hear my dad in my head going, I got to get back out there.
I would... If they put him out there and said he was full go, then I would think he's good to go, Andy.
Okay, so what does that leave you then?
It leaves you a tight hamstring on Dylan Gabriel. That's not pulled, it's not strained, it's not what we heard was some, hamstring soreness. Mm-hmm. I would think Dylan Gabriel might have a chance to play. Might. Shedeur Sanders, good to go. Kenny Pickett, back on the field, but not going like crazy. So will he be held out this week? I don't know. My gut would tell me yes.
Oh, you have five quarterbacks, so.
Exactly. And then Tyler Huntley can come in and try and put enough on tape on Friday night if he gets on the field. Mary Kay actually already reported that he will play on Friday.
Shedeur will.
No, or Tyler Huntley will play on Friday. So if you're Tyler Huntley... Man, that phone rang and you're all over it because what does that do for you? You didn't have a job. Now you're going to have preseason tape, and anybody who needs a quarterback is if they weren't going to call already will now have something to look at. So I would just gut feeling, Andy, you would think Flacco doesn't play. I would think Pickett doesn't play, but you never know. If he gets on the practice field tomorrow against Carolina, that's a whole different story. And then Gabriel, who knows? Sanders, yes. Huntley, yes. You could have Shedeur Sanders start the game, play a half, and then Tyler Huntley come in and play the other half, something like that.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this, but, Tyler Huntley has plenty of NFL time. Why would it's just giving him the opportunity to play. Is that what you're saying? When you're saying that gives him tape, you're just saying he's got the opportunity to go out there and play.
This year, out of sight, out of mind, Andy, unless you're Joe Flacco.
But if I was trying to figure out if I was – having second thoughts about bringing Tyler Huntley in. I'm watching his stuff from the Dolphins from last year. I'm not watching a preseason game from the Browns.
I'd look at everything I could, especially the most recent.
Yeah. I'm kind of, this is my prediction, Flacco for one series, Sanders, and then Huntley, second half.
My hope is that Gabriel is okay and he can actually practice this week, and we'll see about Pickett. The problem is going to be, and now, Andy, I think this is real clear. When one of these guys, let's just say, okay, guys don't play this week. Pickett, maybe Gabriel, even in the practice. If they're all good to go next week, somebody's going to get cut. You would assume it's Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, it's easy.
You would assume. But I wouldn't say there's a guarantee of that, would you?
Yeah, I would say that if they've got to cut one guy, Tyler Huntley's going to be the guy that gets cut. He wasn't on the roster yesterday, and it's easy to make him not on the roster tomorrow. So, yes, Tyler Huntley is an easy cut.
I think that is an easy cut.
Okay.
But what if he goes out and plays extremely well on Friday?
He's an easy cut because he's going up against third and fourth stringers. Tyler Huntley is not, unless two of these guys are hurt, Tyler Huntley's not on the team. I wouldn't be banking on Tyler
I would assume
Huntley.
That's correct. Again, and we know what happens when you assume. Mike is in University Heights. Mike, what do you think of this?
Hey, Ty. Hey, this is the thing.
Hey, Ty.
After the weekend when your boy like lights up Dylan Gabriel, says he's basically unplayable, right?
Oh, you talking about Daryl Ryder said that?
Right.
Yeah, he did light him up. He did, yeah.
So he says that, and then at practice yesterday, Daryl Ryder asked him a question, and Dylan Gabriel plays it perfectly. He goes, great question. He has to know that this is the guy who's ripping him. But the thing is...
I tell you what, if Dylan Gabriel's smart, he doesn't know that he's the guy that's ripping him, and all he cares about is football.
You always talk about how players should react to questions. That's exactly how you would have told him to react to that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. Okay. Mike, you're right.
All right.
I never questioned.
Dylan Gabriel, they say, is unplayable, right? So did he get hurt?
No. Daryl said that.
But they were saying he couldn't hit open people. Everybody's saying he can't hit open people. He doesn't look like he's playable. So, I mean, did he get hurt at practice and limp off? Or did they all of a sudden say, yo, we got to take a break?
No, he experienced, I think it was on Saturday, he experienced tightness in his hamstring.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is. Maybe that's affecting his throwing motion.
I don't know. I mean, I've never heard, Daryl Ryder come out and just be so negative and rip on a player like that.
Let me direct you to the archived episodes of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
That was Daryl's opinion. I know others don't share it. So,
they're in a unique position. We knew this right away. We knew this when Deshaun Watson, when they decided to take a turn from Deshaun Watson, knowing that the odds of him playing this season are next to zero. And if he does, it'd be later in the year, and we'll see what happens. But I don't throw a guy out there if he's 60%. And I think that's what they're going on, and that's why you bring in another quarterback. I think we joked about this the other day. I'm like, hey, are they going to need to bring in another quarterback when Pickett was hurt? And we were like, oh, well, they got three more. Yeah, you're right. And then all of a sudden,
but then
now you're looking at three of the four guys are a little bit banged up or banged up.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a great opportunity for Sanders on Friday. That's the one thing I'll say that.
I think that's exactly right.
And
it's going to be his opportunity.
I think when I watch this game, I want to see how complex the offense is, and I want to watch who he's playing against. That's all.
Our buddy Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. I'll make sure I don't say it. He wrote a story yesterday, Browns ad quarterback Tyler Huntley.
Yeah.
As only Florio could write. This is the start of his column. When you have two quarterbacks, you have none. When you have five quarterbacks, you're the Browns. When you have six quarterbacks, you're... And then he used a word that starts with F.
Oh, he actually wrote that?
Yes. It was F and then hyphen, 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 K-E-D.
Yes.
So when you have two, you have none. When you have five, you're the Browns. When you have six, you're...
I got it. Keep you out of trouble there, Jeff.
Does this situation point you in a direction of the Browns quarterback situation of who is going to start the season? Like,
yes, it's Flacco. Yeah, I am 100% all in. It's Joe Flacco, not only because of the injuries right now, as long as he's healthy, but it's also Joe Flacco because if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I need to win, and I'm going to put the guy out there that knows what it's really like to win.
I will differ with you.
You can differ with me all you want. I think I'm right on this one.
You think you're right on everything. That's
no,
okay.
I don't. I'll admit when I'm wrong or I'm wavering. I just think Pickett being banged up now going into the second week, it's Flacco. It's got to be Flacco. And I would not put Flacco on the field Friday.
I would say it's Flacco, except for this. If next week Kenny Pickett is good to go and gets tons of reps against the Eagles in their practices, and then let's see what they do in the game against Philadelphia, it could still be Pickett. If he's out there against Philadelphia, missing, even if Pickett doesn't go this week against Carolina and doesn't play on Friday, doesn't practice tomorrow and doesn't play on Friday, I think he could still get the starting job if against Philadelphia he's able to practice 2 days and then play and looks good. If he's dinged up next week, Andy, it's all over. It'll be Joe.
Depending on health, too, I was sort of looking into this morning because I was thinking about, okay, let's say they go into the season and they still have all four quarterbacks, and you guys are like, oh, they're going to have all four quarterbacks on this roster. I just don't think all four are going to be active. But as I started looking at that, I'm wondering if they have to keep all four active when they turn in the initial roster.
And which then, they did last year, by the way.
By the game, again, I want to preface that when I say that I don't think there's going to be four quarterbacks on this roster, I'm saying that going into Friday of week one. Only because remember how they kept Flacco on the practice squad? Or not Flacco, who they?
Huntley. It was Tyler Huntley. They were trying to trade him last year, right?
Correct. Or was it Tyler Huntley?
Was it Huntley? Remember, they kept putting somebody on the practice squad. We're like, what are they doing? I don't understand that. And then you start reading the rules. Like, I don't know if someone wanted to pick up one of our two rookie quarterbacks off of the. First of all, you can protect four players on your practice squad. And then the other thing is,
they have to clear waivers to get there, though, Andy.
Right.
So you do have to, from everything that I've seen, you do have to expose them at least once to get them on the practice squad.
I don't know if they expose one of those guys just for 24 hours. You have to ask yourself: If you pick someone up on waivers, can you throw them right on the practice squad?
I don't think you can. I think if you pick somebody up on waivers, you have to put them on the active roster.
I thought that was true too. So maybe we'll ask Mary Kay about this too. That if they do that, and then if you pick somebody up off of someone's practice squad, they have to be on the active roster for at least 3 games. So then the next question is, if you feel comfortable with your number one and number two quarterback, why would you bring in another quarterback, especially one that was drafted in the third or the fifth round in this year's draft? There's a math game here that makes me think the Browns will have one of those quarterbacks on the practice squad. So all four guys might still be around. I just cannot see leaving three guys on the active roster that will not have any chance of suiting up on any given Sunday for this team. That's three roster spots that you're going to give up going into a game. And I know there's active and inactive. I can't see it. It doesn't make any sense.
Mike Florio finished up his story about Tyler Huntley with something that might make you think a little bit. He says, Huntley's much more than a camp arm. 25 regular season appearances, 14 regular season starts. Surprising, he was available. Not surprising, the Browns have pounced on yet another quarterback.
You think they're not happy with the guys they got in camp right now?
Well, yeah, that's I'm not eliminating him from the mix, Andy. You know, he's had some success in the league. What if he comes in and he's really good and they like him, say, more than Kenny Pickett? Even though they could have.
Fair. I could see that happening. Yeah,
see, that's. So I would just say stay tuned on this.
What if they like him more than Joe Flacco?
I'd be stunned.
You never know. You're right.
Jim Schwartz, Browns defensive coordinator, has a lot on his back this year because that defense needs to get back to where it was. We'll hear little words of wisdom from Schwartz coming up next. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And then at 1 o'clock, I mean, it's sweeping Northeast Ohio. Get to know your Browns quarterbacks right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Oh, yeah, I saw people playing it on the street corner.
It's
coming
it's,
on in.
Well, everybody's getting fired up about it.
I saw people gambling on it, too. It was really weird. Everybody's I don't know if that's legal up. Or not, but...
I mean, you're going to love it.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm pumped.
You can play along.
Can I?
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you. You're a good man.
I don't want you jumping in with too many answers, though.
All right, then
you
I won't.
You know your stuff.
So. I hope I know the answers.
Don't want to do all that.
Me or my friends at Google, we know everything.
You and I mentioned this last week. If we're looking at keys to this season for the Browns, where you know they can do some things maybe that people aren't expecting them to do. I'm
win. That'd be a good one. I'll take win for 100. Are we playing the game?
That's not it. No. I'm not even going to go quarterback as much as I am. Offensive and defensive lines. I think that's going to be essential for this football team. I mean, if the defensive line can do its job, it's going to put pressure on the quarterbacks, it's going to slow down the running game, and it's going to give the Browns corners a chance to do some things, even without Martin Emerson Jr., who is out for the season with his Achilles injury. Jim Schwartz is the Browns defensive coordinator. He chatted yesterday in Berea, and talked about one corner in particular, and that would be the Pro Bowl corner, Mr. Denzel Ward. Here's what Jim said.
I've always admired Denzel as a player when I've been on other teams, and just the way he goes about doing his things is just impressive to see up close. I knew some guys that have coached him in the past that, you know, they said, like, you're going to love Denzel, and I certainly do. I've had some good corners in the past. He's probably the best corner I've had in 30-some years in the NFL.
That's a big comment.
Wow, that's huge.
That's a big comment. And obviously there's an issue with Denzel that we all hope doesn't resurface this year. And that's
rear its ugly head, probably the best way to put it.
Well, he's obviously dealt with concussions, mm-hmm. and that's a scary situation. And I think, Andy, he's dealt with concussions to the point where it's fair to think if he gets another one, is he going to keep playing? If he gets two more, is he going to keep playing?
I think it's fair to ask that on someone's first concussion.
So I think that's true. I think that's true, too. And so that's my fear, you know, for Denzel. He's a terrific, terrific football player, a good guy. You know, I remember watching him play and doing some of his games when he played at Nordonia, mm-hmm. when he played wide receiver and corner. And it's been so much fun to watch him.
Is that
a
ding?
No. And then really develop as a pro cornerback. I mean, he's top notch. And if you need any more proof of that, Jamar Chase's comments when asked about the best corners he goes up against, and he said, that's easy. It's Denzel Ward. I see him twice a year. And that to me is as high praise as you're going to get. It, coming from your defensive coordinator, he could say he's a terrific corner. For Jim Schwartz to say he's the best I've had in 30 some years, that's huge. And Jamar Chase's comment, absolutely huge.
Why? Well, it's funny. He's what, 5'11"? I don't even think he's 6 foot.
Denzel?
Yeah.
He's probably 5'11". Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny with the quarterback situation, we get all crazy about how tall a quarterback is. And I was listening to Michael Lombardi this morning talking about his son.
With the Morning Guys.
Yeah, with the Morning Guys. Just talking about how his son was.
Denzel's listed officially at 5'11".
At 5'11". Okay, so just talking about Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, he said his son is out there, and he just said, you've got to be able to slide and find the pockets. But when you talk about a defensive back who's under 6 foot going up against a wide receiver who's maybe 6'2", 6'3", I mean, that to me, that's like it says so much more about the ability of someone who can play either corner or safety and be able to get over the height advantage, because you got to figure if a ball's tight and it's late, you know, how do you play it? And to hear something like what Jim Schwartz said about Denzel's is truly amazing.
Well, it's the trend in the NFL now to get bigger corners if you can.
Yeah.
Jamerson, a bigger cornerback. Yeah. And you know, you're seeing some guys who are 6'1", 6'2". Browns just signed a guy who's 6'2", I think, 6'3", to play corner. And for that very reason, Andy, you have these big physical wide receivers, guys like A.J. Brown, you know, the great big tall wide receivers. And
it's funny.
You, you throw a jump ball.
Isn't it weird how that we say 6'2 is really tall in the NFL? And then you think about the NBA. You're
well,
like,
for a corner.
Yeah, no, no, I know.
For a corner, that is.
You know what I'm saying, though? When you talk about a pro athlete.
Yeah. You know, I mean, think about back when the dog pound was born, and it was Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield. And I remember a couple of years ago, NFL.com, the NFL Network, put together a whole thing on the best cornerback tandems in the history of the National Football League. And they were number two. Mm. Hanford and Minnie were ranked number two overall behind the Raiders with Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes, I believe.
It's all that stick'em.
Well, and, you know, Minnie was 5'9". So Frank Minifield was 5'9", playing corner, and he was as good as you get. You know, Frank, to me, is a guy who actually deserves Hall of Fame consideration from the Veterans Committee. I think Frank was that good. But in today's NFL, you're going for those bigger guys. Does Denzel get the credit that he deserves, Andy?
Here I think he does. Well, here he does.
Do you think he does?
Yeah, I think so. I think sometimes, too, we discredit local guys sometimes, which is weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't know why that happens when we start talking about somebody who's local. And And I don't
maybe,
know where.
Maybe because we've seen him forever.
But that absolutely makes no sense at all.
Didn't happen with Bernie.
No. No, it was, again, man, I got the morning show stuck in my mind. They were talking about Drew Aller. And you're suddenly like, you know, oh, we don't want the local guy. Mitch Trubisky, right? Another one. Where it's like, why would we discredit someone from Northeast Ohio in any way, shape? Now, I don't think Denzel's discredited. I think everyone here knows how good he is. I think the only concern with him is making sure that he's healthy and he is on the field. But for Denzel, do you think he lacks national credit? Do you think he lacks?
No, I don't.
Do you think he lacks local credit?
I don't think he lacks local credit either. I think he gets the credit that he deserves from Browns fans and on a national basis. I do. And I think he's good. My only fear with Denzel is that he's going to have a short career.
I think that's all of ours.
By his choice.
And that's okay. I say it every time.
I do too.
I mean, anytime any of these guys leave with a concussion or some sort of brain trauma, I don't have a problem with any one of them. If say, you know, I'm going to step away from this thing. This is hard. You can sit around for a long time and play with brain trauma and make a lot of money, but you know, you're shortening your life. There's no question about it. Well, and I say that based on looking at the guys we grew up and worshipped. I mean, those guys are a mess. A lot of those guys are a mess right now.
Well, think about this. You often mention, you know, the length of a typical NFL career. It's, what, three and a half years, something like that.
Around three.
And when a guy is going to retire around the age of 30, I think people think it's okay. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. An NFL guy, yes. Yeah.
Denzel's going into his eighth season, and he's 28 years old. Jim Brown retired after 9 seasons at 29. People thought that was early, but you know that was back in the day when people had to go get jobs afterwards. You don't have to go get jobs afterwards now if you've invested wisely.
If the owner would have just let him make a movie, he probably would have been playing a lot longer.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I know, but look around the NFL now. You see guys retiring. Hey, I'm pushing 30. I'm done.
Hey, look, Frank Reich now retiring, the center from the Lions.
Right.
I mean, that guy was an all-pro last the year before,
and
or at least a pro bowler.
So I'm just going to say I have no idea how long he's going to play, but enjoy Denzel Ward while we can.
You, for sure.
Because,
well, I mean, look at
this is eight years. It's not like he'd be retiring with a concussion issue after 4 years. He's played 8 years. After this year, he'll have played 8 years in the NFL. He's gone to the Pro Bowl 4 times. I mean, he's really dang good. And I want us to appreciate him while he's here, and I hope he wants to and is able to continue playing into his 30s. I would think that'd be outstanding.
Think about this, too. Jim Brown only played 9 years.
Yeah.
Only played 9 years.
Yeah.
And later in life, I mean, he had a lot of trouble moving. I mean, it was hard for Jim to get from place to place, especially towards
the
end.
That's very true.
And remember, didn't some jerk steal his cane? He had a Native American cane, too. That bothers me. That, you know, for most of us, greatest running back of all time. Okay. And I'll say that with my Browns bias. I don't care. If that career was shortened, right? And he had that much trouble when he was later in life trying to walk. Is that worth it? I don't know.
I told you.
I don't know that it is. I think if you can make enough money to take care of your family and make some smart decisions, get out.
Well, Jim Schwartz has a lot going on. Denzel's going to help him hopefully get that defense back to where it needs to be. I told you a Jim Brown story back in the day. The Browns did a 60th anniversary television special.
I remember that.
And I hosted it. It was fun. And it was a great honor to sit and talk to a bunch of these guys. They set up a big set in a locker room at the stadium, and we shot it down there. And Jim Brown was one of the guys we talked to. And so we did this interview with Jim, you know, for the show. And then we were up on a platform, you know, it was two steps to get up on this platform and sit at the set. And there was another guy, and Jim gets done, and, you know, we're walking, getting ready to go off the set. And we get to the edge of the set where there are steps. And I thought, this is Jim Brown. But he was struggling, Andy, as you mentioned. And Jim kind of looked at us, and it was the floor director or the camera guy. And we went over to Jim and kind of grabbed him, you know, and we're just kind of there for him to lean on. And Jim Brown said, two big, strong guys to help me down. Fellas, I appreciate that. And I laughed and I said, Mr. Brown, we all know that if you wanted to, you could kick the living crap out of both of us at the same time right now.
What did he say?
He went. Because you know why? He could have. Now, we might have been able to run away from him, but if he got his hands on us, we were toast.
I wouldn't have said that. I would have said it's a pleasure to block for you any day of the week.
Oh, nice.
That's what
nice.
I would have said.
Well, I made him laugh, so it was good.
I would have made him smile.
What are we, Gene Hickerson and Dick Schaffrath?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the plaindealercleveland.com. She's on her way to Carolina for tomorrow's joint practice. Her thoughts on the quarterback, more, and her big honor at the Hall of Fame weekend.
Outstanding.
All coming up on Baskin and Phelps. She's next.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.